Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, Warren Buffett is on record saying the stock market is a device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient. And I think that's very, very timely, and we're going to elaborate that on today's show, because we're going to break down five major economic headlines and, more importantly, what you can do to protect your financial future.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you, too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. Cruising Through Retirement is the program. Kevin Brooker is here. He's driving us along, as he does every week. Kevin, independent fiduciary, investment advisor, representative, Silverleaf Financial, 30-plus years. Visit silverleaffinancial.com. Kevin, always a pleasure, and I love this. I love where we're headed with this, and I love the Warren Buffett quote.
You know what? I love that quote because it is, and it's always great to be here, Steve. Thank you very much, and guys,
yes.
I hope you enjoy the show. You know, Buffett, a lot, I think everybody that's an investor has at least heard the name Warren Buffett if you don't follow him or have read about him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the famous Oracle of Omaha, I think he's probably made more money from investing in the stock market, than anybody else. And I'm not, you know, it's different to me, in my mind, it's different if you're a 401k millionaire like Jeff Bezos at Amazon or, you know, any of the other big wigs that made a fortune, you know, Musk with Tesla. And so on and so forth, where they run a company, they give themselves, you know, millions and millions of stock options, and over time the stock does well and they become a billionaire. I think that's a lot different than something like Warren Buffett that is just evaluating the company from the outside and making a decision whether this is a good investment over time. And he's famous for saying, you know, that the time to get rich is when there's blood in the streets.
Yeah.
So you want to be greedy when everybody else is fearful and vice versa. So we all noticed, if you're paying attention, we all noticed for like the last, I don't know, maybe year or 7-8 months at least, Buffett has been on record and everybody is, if you've been watching, he has been selling for about the last, you know, 8 to 12 months. He started to reduce his position in Apple, which he still, don't get me wrong, guys, he still owns, I believe, over 300 million shares of Apple. So, okay.
Not to worry.
So it's not like he's out, okay? You know, but he's taking profits and he's, you know what he's doing with his money? He's putting it in T-bills. He's got something like $170 billion in T-bills. And that tells me he doesn't think that there's any really good compelling opportunities in the stock market, and he started to think that almost a year ago. And some of the metrics that he used, you can look them up online, but he looks at the overall productivity of the nation as a whole, and he uses that as a barometer compared to the growth and interest rates, and he just feels that it's overvalued. And I started telling a lot of my clients the same thing in the last few weeks, because, you know, we're looking at a market that last year, I believe, hit 60 record highs just in the calendar year 2024.
That's amazing.
And isn't that incredible? And then and you look at it and say, okay, no question. The earnings growth has been very good. We've got mid-double digits earnings growth from a lot of companies. some of the big tech stocks are still, like NVIDIA is still growing 40-50% a year. You know, Amazon is still growing north of 30% a year. So there's still some very good growth, but it's not the overall market, right? And so I think it's important to put it in perspective. And we got up to a valuation 22, 23 times earnings, which is high from a, if you look back the last 50 years, that's high. And, okay. And so what I was saying to my clients is that with the new administration, let's just wait. You know, sometimes the best thing you can do, guys, is nothing. All right. You don't have to be making a trade. You don't have to be making a change or reallocation. Sometimes it's best to just sit back, hold on to your seat, and just let the dust settle. And I believe that's a period of time we're in right now. Unless you feel anxious, you feel like you're taking too much risk, then that might be a different story. But if you're a longer-term investor, I do think this is going to turn out to be a buying opportunity. That doesn't mean we can't go lower, though. All right. And the advice is different for people based on their age and their how much risk they want to take. Mm-hmm. If you're currently retired or close to retirement, and you're planning to reduce your stock exposure, then you might want to do it now. But if you're younger, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you've got another couple decades to work. Most likely, we're going to get through this sometime in the next 1 to 2 years. It could be sooner. The average sell-off, I believe, is in the 8 to 9 month range. But if you go back to 2000 when the market crashed, yeah. it took 2.5 years.
That's right. Okay, sure.
And so if you guys listened to the show last week, I think it was last week or the week before, I was talking about how that was the first time I saw the S&P 500 index break its 200-day moving average.
Right. No, that was last week.
Okay.
Last
week, and I talked about some tactical jargon. And there's something called a death cross, which is when your 50-day more recent moving average goes below the 200-day average. That means the near-term stock prices are lower than the longer-term stock prices, which is interpreted as very negative. And the opposite is also true, which they call it a golden cross. When the 50 goes above the 200, that's the golden cross. And that's a buy signal, all right? The death cross is a sell signal. And so that's what I said. This is a very bad signal because the fact is it's a lot easier to make money investing in stocks when the trends are intact. So when you're above all the past moving averages and the trend is just an upward sloping, you know, to the right, that's a good environment to invest in. That's where you can really make your money. I have a lot harder time making money in a sideways or a down market where the trend is gone and we're below support. That's a difficult market to make money in. And so I personally don't feel compelled to buy anything. I'll tell you, for the first time, I'm making money on a short position. And I went short NASDAQ a little while back. And the symbol's QID, if anybody's interested. This is very volatile. You could lose your shirt, to be clear. When you take on a short position, your risk is unlimited, all right? Because theoretically, anything can go to the sky. If you're betting for it to go to zero, your risk is unlimited. So don't take on these positions if you don't fully understand it, okay? Mm-hmm. But it can be used as a hedge. And so, which is what I started using it at. I had it set up as a hedge in my portfolio, and then I saw the market start to break all the key support levels. I sold a lot of my positions, and I maintained and added to my short position. And so that's just me trying to take advantage of a trend. But, guys, I watch it all day, every day, okay? So, you know, everybody doesn't do that. I've been doing this for 35 years. I feel confident. I know what I'm doing. But it is not for everybody. Okay, just for the record. All right, but the tariffs and all this talk out of Washington and almost everything that Trump is doing, I think is horrible. If you voted for him, I hope you got what you voted for. I did not. I've never voted for him, and I never will. I personally think he's been one of the worst presidents in history. All right, but he's in the office now. So I don't understand why don't they just convene everybody together, have a damn summit, get together with the European and the Asian leaders and everybody else you want to slap tariffs on, and say, let's sit down at a table and hash this out. Write it down, make an agreement, so we don't have this bullshit every day. Oh, well, we're going to slap 20%, 200%, 50%. Oh, 2 days later, oh, no, we're not going to do that now.
Right.
It's ridiculous, right?
That's ridiculous. It's a silly game of cat and mouse. I mean, it really is.
But you're playing with people's livelihoods. You're
right,
playing
of
with
course.
People's careers and their jobs and their businesses. And I think it's extremely irrational. It's reckless, and it is going to drive us into recession if we keep going down this road, which is what I brought up the last week or two as well.
Yes.
I think if you look at what's happening now, the ADP labor report, I mentioned it last week, came out, and that's your private employment report. So that doesn't include the government jobs, that all the layoffs and all that stuff. The private employment report came out with half. It had, I think, 90,000 jobs, and we were expecting 170 or 180. So that means a lot of employers are pulling back on their hiring because they're afraid, because they don't know what the hell to expect out of Washington. And so they're pulling back, and they're saying, I'm not going to make another big expenditure by hiring more people until I get more clarity on what's going to happen. And at the same time, all the companies, all the people that are running their big CapEx expenditures, so the people that decide, should we build a new plant? Should we build a new manufacturing facility? Should we build a new distribution facility? Should we spend a bunch more money on equipment or computers or chips or AI? And the answer is, you know what? Maybe we spend less than we thought because we don't know what the heck is going on. All right, so this air of uncertainty is what Wall Street hates. Wall Street wants confidence and clarity about what, you know, give us the rules and stick with those rules, and then we can play that game really well. But if you keep changing the rules every 24 hours, we don't even want to swing at the ball, okay? And so I think it's important people understand this. The reality is taxes are tariffs. I mean, tariffs are taxes. I guess in my mind, they're interchangeable.
They
right?
seem like they are. I mean, how else can they be? How else can you see it?
Well, the reality is that an importer bringing the goods into the country is going to pay that tariff, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He or she is going to pay it, and then they're either going to pass it along down the supply chain, right? Or they're going to say, you know what? I'll eat this. I'll take it out of my profits. So if you got 100 business people and you ask them, are you going to take it out of your profits and reduce your profits, or are you going to pass it on to the consumer? They're going to say, if we can pass it on, we're going to pass it on.
Well, of course.
Right?
They're in business.
I think that's 80. They're not in business for charity, right?
Nope.
And so I think the great majority of that is going to pass on. There was just a survey this week by the top 100 economists in the nation. These are people like the professors at MIT and Harvard and Yale, the most respected minds in economics in our country. 95% of them said tariffs are going to result in higher costs to consumers, higher inflation, and it is not good for the economy. Period. End of story. All right? And so you can think what you want, but the reality is egg prices, for instance, went up another 10% just in the last month. That's the latest report that came out a couple days ago. All right? So I'm seeing individual eggs at restaurants for $4.
I said, right. Oh, yeah, the egg surcharge.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. Are you kidding me? All right, so what do you do? I think if you want to invest, you have to find companies that are going to be more defensive. Think of like a Walmart, all right? Maybe Netflix. I'm looking at Netflix because I'm thinking, you know, maybe they don't go to the movies. Maybe they say, I'll stay at home and I'll spend $16 on Netflix. And so I think those types of companies, it'd be your staples, you know, Procter & Gamble and Clorox and Colgate-Palmolive, these types of companies. Doesn't mean you can't lose money in them, guys. The other thing about it is the staples were also trading at a high valuation. So what I've suggested, if people are nervous, go to bonds, okay? Reallocate some of your stock portfolio to bonds, because I can show you where you can get 5, 6, 7, almost 8% on high-quality bonds with very little fluctuation. Excuse me. They might fluctuate 2% in a year versus these stocks can move, you know, 10, 15, 20% in a day. So you can still get some pretty decent returns in bonds with much, much lower risk. And then what I'm doing for these clients, I'm saying, you know what, let's just go to the side, because we're also going in a period of time where we're in a seasonally weak period of time.
Okay.
And you want to think about it like the school. Yeah, I think of it like the school year, okay?
Oh, okay, because, great way to think of it.
And that's easier for me. You know, most of us went to school, right?
Right, I guess, yeah.
I think all of us. You know, and so basically, if you've heard the saying, sell in May and go away, right? That's an old one from Wall Street. And these are all the bankers in New York. They sell everything in May, and they go to their vacation beach house in the Hamptons. And then they come back in September, figure out what they want to buy, and they put the money back to work. The best period of time in the market is October to April. See, you can check out the research. I believe 85% of the gains going back 100 years has happened in that window. Okay?
Wow.
So the summertime, doesn't really do a whole heck of a lot. So I don't have any problem raising cash, reducing stocks, going to the side for now, for the next maybe 5, 6, 7 months, until I see more stability. And it's also tied in with the administration saying they feel that by the summertime, they can have all this stuff in place. They will have negotiated the deals and will have more certainty. And I think that what's going on with this administration, nobody expected for any party, either party, to sweep to get the presidency, you know, the Senate and the House. But the Republicans did it. They have majority of everything. So the belief is that if they want to pass any of this Project 25 crap, they're going to do it when they're in control, which is now. That's why they're trying to move everything so quickly, because they're in control right now. And when we go to the midterms in a couple of years, they think they're going to lose some seats and they won't be able to pass the agenda they want to pass. That's why they're doing this flurry of things now, okay? And so I think if you look at that, you say we've got seasonal weakness coming in, we've got possibility of higher inflation, we've got most likely slower growth, which is your stagflation economic time that markets hate, okay?
Yeah. Well, and I saw a couple stories about stagflation today.
I think we're going into a period of stagflation, and I think the only way that inflation is not going to be a problem is if we go into a recession. So pick your poison, I guess. But I don't see any way around it. I mean, how can you increase the price of goods and not cause inflation? That's what they're doing. They're slapping 10, 20, 30, 50, 100, 200. He wants to put a 200% tariff on European liquor and alcohol and champagne. I mean, you can't tell me how exactly, somebody needs to explain to me how you can put increases on these prices, but it's not going to be inflationary. All right? I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. And I think that I think people
how
are
could it not be inflationary? I'm sorry. How could it not be?
That's what I'm saying. Somebody has to explain it to me. And the only people that are willing to take that tack are the people that are kissing his boots. All right. I say they're licking his shoes. Pick your own metaphor. All right. They're echoing. They're an echo chamber for what Trump wants them to say. All right. That's what they're saying. And they sing his praise, they name his name, and they put out platitudes about how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. Guys, it's all BS. It's a smokescreen. These are people that he brought in specifically because they're kissing his ass, okay? They're not telling the truth, and I think it's going to be a mess. And now they want to pass tax cuts. If we pass tax cuts, we're going to add to more of our debt, and that is a surefire way. They're going to start cutting benefit programs at some point because we're going to run out of money. They're going to have to spend all the money on interest payments on the debt. And so I think we're in a very, very bad place, and I am not very optimistic about the future. And to be honest, I feel very bad about future generations because I think they're going to have a much lower standard of living. Meanwhile, as your portfolio is in place, if you feel like you might want to reduce the risk, you can give me a call. I'll be happy to give you some ideas, and I can show you how, for instance, I just bought personally, I bought a bond fund today, short-term bonds. It's paying 7.8% interest. And it fluctuates, you know, minimally. So that's where I'm putting some short-term cash because it's almost twice what I'm getting on a money market rate.
Wow. Seems like a smart move.
You know what? It works for me. That's what I'm doing personally, and I think it can benefit a lot of people. By the way, I also hold these for clients. A lot of the positions that I hold, I also hold them for clients and vice versa. I'm in there too. But the fact is, you know, if you are a longer term investor, you're a younger person, then or if you've got a portfolio that you just plan on holding on to it indefinitely, then it's probably a good time to be making a shopping list, looking at stocks that you feel comfortable with, that you have optimism about, and maybe buy them at a discount. Personally, I think we're going lower before we go higher. But the fact is, it's impossible to tell because if they come out and they reverse all these tariffs and they say, oh, we're not going to do any of that stuff. Then we probably have a nice bounce in the market. But for me to be totally comfortable, I want to see us back above those moving average prices. And that's when I'll have a lot more confidence. So by definition, that means we have to go higher before I get confident that the bull market is back.
And again, it's a long process. There's no question about it. And I think what you said earlier about just now is the time to wait. You know, wait it out. See, yeah, I don't mean forever, but
right,
I think maybe
right.
Through this first quarter at least, and maybe maybe through April.
You know, that's what I think. I'm actually saying more like towards at least halfway through the summer.
Okay, all right.
But again, let's be honest. Nobody knows.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. That's the problem.
That is the problem. And it's even less. It's even more unknown because of the volatility and the mercurial nature of the man sitting in the White House. And so I think it makes it more difficult. He's not a measured person. He says whatever comes to his mind at one particular point in time. He's very emotional. He reacts very defensively if anybody questions him or says he did something wrong. So it's not the height of stability that I would prefer in a president. But that is why I started off with that quote from Buffett, that the stock market is the device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient. Because you get, for instance, if you look at what Buffett does, some of the stocks that he recently sold were like Bank of America and Citigroup. And so I've been reading on this. When did he buy them? Do you know when he bought them? He bought them in the Great Recession.
Oh, my gosh.
2009. He's held them for 15, 16 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, the stock market, that's the long haul, right?
That's the long haul. He walks the walk. He walks the talk. And so it's not like he bought it two months ago or 2 years ago. A lot of the Bank of America, if you guys remember, there was a lot of stories in that crash of the great housing crisis, the crash where these huge, what was it? Was it countryside, something like that?
Countrywide. Countryside,
yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, huge one of the biggest mortgage companies in the country.
Right.
Went out of business, right? Bear Stearns, used to be a very well-respected firm, went out of business. And Bank of America had such cash problems, they had to get a loan from Warren Buffett. And so they created a special class of warrants that are like options, but they're longer term, that they gave to him. And so it's like, here, Warren, this is something that we're going to give you. It's a piece of paper that if the stock goes from here to, triples in the next 10 years, then you're going to make a gazillion dollars or something. All right. He negotiated a separate deal with them because he had the ability to loan them billions and billions of dollars. Right.
Right.
And it worked out pretty damn well for him. But most of us aren't in a position that he is. My point is he's held it for a long time. He bought it when there was blood in the streets, when everybody was panicking in the housing recession. He did exactly what he tells people to do. And now he's on record saying transferring from the impatient to the patient, meaning how many sell-offs did he watch, right, those last 15, 16 years? How many times? How about the COVID crash a few years ago, right?
Right,
He held on through that. How about the crash in 22? The market, the last time I believe the market went below its S&P was below the 200-day. It was a period, I believe, it was something like spring of 22 to spring of 23, okay? And he held off in that period of time, too. But if you look at it, when the market broke below the 200-day the last time,
mm-hmm.
on a downside, that was the spring of 22. And again, it took almost a year to get back above, all right? And if you remember, 2022 was the year where both stocks and bonds had one of their worst years in history at the same time, which wasn't supposed to happen. All right. So these moving averages and the technical indicators, they might sound silly to some people because it's not like there's something written in stone here that says that we have to act on these things. But the fact is they become self-fulfilling prophecies because so many investors, so many money managers, so many hedge fund people, they believe it and they know there's a lot of evidence out there that supports it. And so they set up their trading, they put in their orders, and they're targeted around those average prices. And that's why I say they're key support levels. And you could go on any chart, any technical analysis, or any market page, and you should be able to pull up these indicators, which are your 200-day moving average. And it's very important, and you should know about it if you're an investor in the market, in my view. Or you should have somebody managing your money for you that's familiar with these things and can help you out.
Great way to say that, Kevin. I like it. I was just looking here. Countrywide, I've got my curiosity up. Countrywide Financial ended up not continuing as an independent company. It was acquired in 2008 by Bank of America.
There you go. I forgot about that, actually. I forgot about that.
Right. And as did Bank of America. In 2008,
yes.
Countrywide was purchased by Bank of America.
Yeah. Yes.
yeah.
And I imagine they might regret that one, and that was a horrible time, right? That was a period of time where saying, hey, nothing like this has ever happened before. And that's when people first heard about, I think a lot of people first heard about a CDO, the collateralized debt obligation. And we found out that these hedge funds and a lot of these banks, they were making these loans and levering them up 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times. That's why we unwound so aggressively, because when you put leverage on something and it goes against you, it blows up. I mean, it falls so fast that you wind up with these horrible crashes, which is what contributed to that mess we had at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And that's also what contributed to the government then coming out and making these new banking rules that they're basically trying to unwind now. It was to protect us from having to go through that again. But this administration they're getting rid of those. They call it deregulation. But those are things put in place to protect the public. Just like they just eliminated 30 or 31 environmental protection agency rules. So if you got a coal burning fire, you know, a coal burning plant, you can pollute the hell out of the atmosphere again, no problem. So I'm not a fan of those. So what can I say? I like to breathe clean air, but I guess you got to go someplace else for that in the future. So needless to say, I think it's important that you take a look at your portfolio. Don't just put your head in the sand. Take a look at it. Realize the tariffs are going to cause inflation. A lot of really wealthy, astute investors are saying that they think we're going to get single-digit returns from the market over the next decade. Single-digit returns. So I think it makes sense to allocate a good portion of your portfolio to bonds. If you're anybody that's, let's say, 50 or above, I think you should have a good allocation to bonds. Or at least have some of your investments in investments that provide more safety. Don't have everything in stocks.
So I'm seeing headlines again about the Fed rates and maybe a change in the interest rate. Is all of this affecting that? And I guess it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, in what way do you think?
By slowing down growth. By slowing down the growth. By slowing down By slowing down the growth. That's why I said either we're going to have a period of high inflation or we're going to have a recession, because I don't believe they can walk that tightrope. I think they're either going to slow it down too much and send us into recession, or it's just going to be inflationary because of all the tariffs and the retaliatory tariffs. But he started a trade war. This is a war. This is a trade war. And which Warren Buffett actually said that last week. He said that he put us into a trade war. It's a terrible thing for the people. And he said, yes, it's like a tax. He goes, the tooth fairy don't pay him. Right? The tooth fairy don't pay the tariffs. That's nice. From Warren Buffett. All right? That's what he's saying, guys, is wake up. The consumer, whoever buys whatever it is with the tariff on it, you're going to be paying that tariff. To me, it looks like if my theory is correct that the bosses at these companies, I talked about earlier how they're not going to build a new plant, they're not going to hire more employees, they're not going to spend more money in CapEx and buying more equipment. They're going to rein in their spending. And corporate spending is a driver of economic growth. So if they back off their consumer spending, at the same time, our economy is between 65 and 70% driven by consumer spending. We're not a manufacturing economy. We're a consumer economy. And that's why a lot of people on Wall Street pay attention to credit card delinquencies, credit card balances, and auto loan payments, and people that are delinquent on auto loans as well as on mortgages. Because it shows us that if you start falling behind on those payments, chances are you're struggling, right? And you're not going to be spending as much. Therefore, the economy won't be growing as much. Now, the economy is driven by the top 10%. Half of all consumer spending is the top decile, all right? So if the rich people start curtailing and reducing their spending, that's what will drive us into recession. In my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we go into recession, that means we're going to have slower growth, and that could be a catalyst for the Fed to lower interest rates. But it won't be because things are good, guys. They're going to be lowering interest rates because they're trying to spur growth. And so it all depends on how this shakes out. I don't think the Fed's going to do anything until at least summertime. Just like I'm saying, is they just the smart move, I really believe, is just do nothing right now. Unless you're feeling anxious or, you know, then reduce your risk. But other than that, I personally think it's a good time to just kind of sit on your hands and let's see how this plays out.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, so the market this week, I know we're getting tight on time, but the market this week, holy cow. It's been a ride. Are you getting a lot of folks asking questions, not necessarily about the market, but I mean, are the tariffs a concern? What are you hearing from people?
Well,
what are their concerns?
They are concerned. They're more concerned than they've been in a long time. I can say it that way.
Okay.
I don't. Generally speaking, I've got some fantastic clients, and a lot of them have been with me for a long time. They've gone through these downturns before, and the fact is 3 years out of four, the market's higher. Okay, that's go back a century, and that's what it says. 75% of the time, the market goes higher. So the theory is that if you just wait it out, over time, the market's going to grow because the population grows. We have immigration coming in, and that builds up our workforce, which helps increase our productivity, along with advances in technology that increases our productivity. So that means corporate earnings will increase, and as corporate earnings increase, then the stock market goes higher. That's what's supposed to happen. But when,
okay.
All right, but when you throw all these curveballs out there,
sure.
And you say, I'm going to deport all these immigrants, well, now you're taking away the labor force. And if we're replacing foreign workers with American workers, my opinion, they're going to want more money, right? I think that's the reason why so much manufacturing has left the United States, is because the American worker demands a higher paycheck than a person in China or Thailand or Vietnam or Mexico. And so I think if you get rid of the immigrants and you make Americans do the job, it's going to wind up costing the employer more money, which to me leads to inflation because they're going to have to raise prices. So to me, it looks like stagflation or recession. I think growth is going to drastically slow. I think inflation is going to stay high. The only thing I can't tell, and I don't think anyone can tell, is whether we're actually going to go into recession, which technically the textbook is two consecutive quarters of negative growth. That's the textbook definition of a recession. All right. And as far as the stock markets go, guys, you want to remember the stock market is a forward-looking mechanism. So it's looking at that now. That's why it's selling off now, is because we broke these technical support levels, and it looks like we're slowing down our growth. We might not be slowing down inflation. We might be going into recession. So the market is selling off in anticipation of that. Once we actually get to the point that the economists come out and say, hey, guys, we're actually in a recession, that's probably when you want to be a buyer. All right. But I personally don't think it's now. But the fact is the market goes down before the official declaration, you know, of a recession. So sit on your hands is my recommendation. Build up your cash. Find a good money market or a good bond fund to build up your cash, earn some interest. And then as we get more clarity down the road, then we can talk and figure out the best places to deploy the capital.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you can lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.